بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. With God's name we begin. The praise and the thanks is for God. We thank Him for the gift and blessing of the model human person Muhammad, on him be prayers and the peace, the honorable and noble messenger, servant of God. And what follows of that salute, of that traditional salutation to the prophet, the last prophet, the seal of the prophets mentioned in the Bible, as it is given in the Quran, say, he is the one that's mentioned in the Bible, one coming to break all the bonds of slavery and to take off the people the heavy yoke that weighed them down. We ask Allah to give us the good that He promised us. That is, that He promised mankind, if we accept His guidance and follow it and obey it, we ask Him to give us the goodness that He promised us and to give us all of it. I mean. The Quran is a book of revelation, a book of guidance, and it is also a mercy. It is God's mercy to His creation, to His human creation. Every chapter of this book opens with attributes of God, both carrying the meaning of mercy, two attributes of God, both carrying the meaning of mercy. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Bismillah, in the name of God, Ar-Rahman, the Beneficent, they translated, and they translated also the Merciful, some, the Compassionate, some of them translated like that. It has both the meaning of giving abundantly, giving without restrictions on the giving, giving freely and abundantly. And that's Ar-Rahman. And that is also mercy. The root word is mercy. Rahmah, mercy. Rahman and Rahim. Rahim means the continuing of that mercy, even after it has been cut off, that it will be returned. The mercy is cut off, but then it returns and continues the mercy. Mercy of God continues. Every generation is a new chance for hope and come and mercy. Every new generation is a new chance for hope and God's mercy. The parents may fail God, but the children may not fail God. Every generation is a new hope. And we know the bodies of our mothers is called arham. Arham, the plural, for rahmah. It is called arham. And we are born of their bodies. And that's an indication to us that the first mercy is really the gift of life. The gift of life is the first mercy. God created us to have a good life, a good life. Adam, the first human being, or the first parent in our scriptures, he is a sign of the first life, the gift of the first life. And that first life, according to scripture, was a good life. Adam, was able to have a good life until he was deceived by the enemy of mankind, the Satan, Shaitan, called in Islam, Shaitan. He was deceived by him, and that prevented him from having the good life. It brought trouble. It brought trouble. But look how his generation succeeded, and the Quran does not refute that or deny that. If we understand it, the Quran is saying the same thing that the Genesis is saying about the great worth or value that God put in man when he created him, Adam, man when he created him. Adam, even with Satan interrupting his life and efforts, he was able to have sons, behind sons, and his sons were able to get great benefit from God's creation. He made the creation for his human creation. He made the world, the physical world, material reality, for his human creation. And Adam's descendants made good use of it, and they progressed. Genesis of the Bible tells us of his sons, how they were able to become growers of crops, and later builders, and even iron workers, and great skill workers in the field, but also in industry. They were great workers in the field as farmers or those who were developing agriculture, but also they became great workers in the field, handicrafts, clothing, all those things. So what is God telling us there? God is telling us that he made the world to yield its benefit to the human being in his natural state. Before God gives him any revelation, he has created a man with the ability to have this industry where he can develop the environment and get great benefit from it. However, we should understand that if he deviates and follows the wrong way, the Satan, the way of evil and sin, then he will be cut off from the blessings. And though he have the same thing, it will be a curse on his soul. He will not have peace. He will have great abundance of the material things, but he will be lacking in spiritual blessings, and he will have great, great trouble in his soul. So that's what happened. And we know it became so terrible that God gave the world a rebirth. And the prophet is Noah. Noah gave the world a rebirth because the world had gone to such extremes that it destroyed itself, if we understand it right, seeing that the flood destroyed it. But the flood was brought on by the wicked. The wicked destroyed themselves, brought destruction upon themselves. Yes. And this flood of Noah, is, pardon me, it's a prophet also in our religion, in Quran. He's the same prophet. In fact, all of our prophets are the same prophets that are given in the Bible, just having different names. And God says even Muhammad is in the Bible, as I told you when I opened this khutbah, this part of the khutbah. Yes, so all of our prophets are in the Bible, and we are not to limit their number to the number of prophets that we have by name in Bible and in Quran. For God says that there are others not given in the scripture. So there were prophets not even recorded in the scriptures. God says that there have never been a people, a community that was without a messenger or a warner. He sent warners to all communities of man. And there's too many for them to be listed in the book. The book of their names probably would just be too heavy for us to carry. Probably have to put it on a ship and ship it across the ocean to another land. Yes, So this is a religion, a religion of mercy and compassion, religion of mercy and compassion. And it tells man that you were created to have this, but you lost it because you were also created to do your own choosing, to have your own mind, make your own choices. And sometimes you can be deceived by that is wiser than you. And the Satan, the Shaitan, was wiser than Adam in the ways of matter and in the ways of thought. He was wiser than Adam. And he deceived Adam and caused Adam to think that he was going right when he was going wrong. So the Quran does not call Adam a sinner. It says Adam slipped. Slipped. And the word that slipped is a word that's used also in Arabic language, meaning earthquake. Earthquake. And when an earthquake, a violent earthquake comes, sometimes it's so violent that it shifts the rock foundation under the surface of the earth. It causes the rock foundation to shift. And it may shift, and a whole community may sink into the earth and be destroyed. The shifting can be just that severe, that it causes a crevice so big that a small town or community can fall into the bottom of the earth, and they have found cities and towns buried beneath the surface of the earth, and they're still finding them. They haven't found them all yet. They're still finding them. So this is in Scripture, also in history now, you know. Yes, so he slipped. What is the point here? The point is, a natural man is a marvelous creation without revelation, without any communication from God. A natural man without religion is a marvelous creation. I'm saying that to say to you, we don't put the value on ourselves that we should put on ourselves. If we did, we would treat ourselves better. We would care for ourselves better. The wonderful ladies that have invited us here for this occasion, they have a wonderful program, and their program recognizes the help that you get from religion to have health, mental health, spiritual well-being, and wholeness. Wholeness of health, the wholeness of health, not just bodily health, but also health for your mind and your spirit or your soul. And this is Islam. Allah says of the Quran that in it is healing, shifa, in it is healing for what is in the breast of man. What is in his breast? The troubles from his mind are in his breast. When we get in trouble mentally, the weight of that trouble falls right upon our nervous system. And the heart is the symbolic of the center for the nervous system. And we say, he had a heart attack. The nervous system got so burdened, so heavy, and so burdened, so troubled, that it triggered the center heart to just go out. He had a heart attack. Yes, so it's a symbolic of the center for our nervous system, the heart. Matters of serious nature, we say trouble our heart. The loss of a loved one, the loss of your investment, and now you're in trouble. You don't have money. Your family's in trouble because you can't give them what they need. So these serious matters can cause heart attack. But where is the trouble coming from? It's coming from your head, and it's weighing on your heart. The trouble starts right in the head. So the Satan seduced Adam, tricked him out of his position that God had put him in, tricked him out of it, and put so much burden on his head that I'm sure his descendants had many heart attacks. And yes, And God's mercy comes again after we lose it. His mercy comes again after we've lost it. We have lost the beautiful creation that he gave us. We have gotten out of touch with it. We are not serving it properly as it should be served. And we lose it. We lose that beautiful creation. And then God comes and rescues us if we will just believe that he can help us. If you just believe that he can help you, God comes and he rescues us again. Rescues us. And when he rescues us, it's like a rebirth. It's like a rebirth. So Ar-Rahim is has the ring of the mother's reproduction system of mothers. It has the ring of that more than Ar-Rahman, really. Ar-Rahim. Arham is the word. Arham is the word for the system of the mother, where we are given form again, come to life and have form again. So this is the beauty of God that he wants us to see. He doesn't want us to see him as God that's waiting on you to do wrong, to put you in the fire. That's not God. God is a God that's waiting on you to do right, to put you in heaven. He's not waiting on you to do wrong, to put you in hell. And he says, even of the religion, he says, I do not want hardship for you, but I want that you be purified. So God is telling us the trouble that we have to go through sometimes to get corruption out of our lives is very difficult. Very difficult to fight corruption, to have the life straight, decent, honest as God wants it, especially when Satan is confusing it and putting everything in the way of good behavior and making it seem that the easiest way just to give up good behavior and be a crook. You know, Satan can put so much trouble in your way, in the way of you doing good, that you will sometimes think that it would be better if I just go the way of the crooks. It'll be easier. Satan will make it like that. So God says to us, it is not that he wants hardship for us, but that he wants that we be purified. And the one mentioned, Muhammad, mentioned in the Bible, it says that he's one that will purify them, and will lead them out of the darkness into the light. That goes along with what I said earlier in the opening, that he's one to break every bond of slavery and take the heavy yoke off of the people that weighed them down, the heavy yoke that weighed them down. And there are signs and connections for this in Christianity. I won't give them to you now, but there are signs and connections of this picture of Muhammad as a one coming to take burden off the backs of the people and to break the bonds of slavery. There are signs in the Christianity of the same. The world that God gives us, created for us, to serve us and to yield its services, its utility, its benefits to us, the same world, if we approach it wrongly, fail to follow the guidance of God and going to approach the treasures or the promises of the material world to man, can cause the world to become not a blessing but a curse. The whole world can change from a blessing to a curse. The whole world can change in your perception from a perception of that relieves burdens. Allah made the world to relieve burdens, to make life easier for us. That's why he made the world. When you look at the conveniences that we have from those that have engaged the world with their intellect, with their rational mind, with their scientific thoughts and experiments. They have brought out of the world things that are conveniences for us, and these conveniences have changed the history of man and community life from being a history of man toiling and facing tragedy behind tragedy, environmental calamities one after another, etc., wild animals, beasts, and whatever, the drudgery of travel, loss of life and family members just to travel from one land to another, all that's gone. And what has changed the history from one of sadness and pain and misery and dread to one of hope and comfort, it is what man has gotten out of the material world. From his thoughts, his rational mind, his scientific insights, and his experiments, his scientific experiments, experimenting with what his mind guided him to, have brought us to all of these comforts. So you see, the world is really created for man's mercy, not to punish him. It's created for man's mercy. God is mercy, and he gives mercy. God is mercy, and he created mercy. The world itself is a mercy. But if we approach it wrongly, no, it becomes a curse. And he said he has not created man except for his mercy. Isn't that a wonderful God? He said he created us for his mercy. Created us for his mercy. Then he tells us of Muhammad. He says Muhammad is a mercy to all the worlds. Rahmatan lil alameen. He is a mercy for all the worlds. To or for all the world means both. Li, the expression li in Arabic means to, and it also means for. He is a mercy lil alameen for all the worlds. For all the worlds. It didn't leave out any. The material worlds, yes. But when you think of the universe of worlds, the stars, the galaxies, the planets, do they need our mercy? Do they need mercy? They're not crying for mercy. They're still going about in their doing their business just as the Creator created them to do it. They've been doing it for billions and trillions of light years, some of them, and they're still doing it. The moon rises like it always rose. The sun rises like it always did and sets, huh? And the stars come out at night like they always did. And the sky on a beautiful Texas night in the Perrylands, it looks just as beautiful as it did to Adam. But down here, the sight has gotten ugly. Where we are, the sight has gotten ugly. And down here is where we have many worlds. The world of astronomy, the world of mathematics, the world of technology, the world of financing. We have many worlds. And Muhammad is a mercy to all the worlds. I should pause for 1 hour. That's how long you need to think about what I just said. Praise be to Allah. Allah is greater. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise is for God, the Lord, cherisher of all the worlds. Yes, so I repeat, he says of the Quran that in it is healing for what is in the breast of man. Healing for what is in the breast of man. You know, the mind doesn't really get sick. We call it sick. The mind is like a computer. The mind gets this thrown out of order. It's the heart that gets sick. We got a troubled mind, huh? And a sick heart. Yeah, we get sick at our heart. Sick heart, sick heart. The heart gets sick. Some minds, they can take all that burden that the average heart falls down under, collapses under, and they just keep going. Marquis de Sade, Al Capone, and the rest of those bad guys in history, you know, they never complained that they had a headache doing wrong. Their brain didn't have no trouble keeping up with the wrong they were doing or continuing to produce evil and sins and trouble. Had no problem. But if the heart ever become human, you have a heart attack. You have to straighten up or take him out, because the heart can't stand that. That's the nervous system when it's conscious. When it's conscious of right and wrong. And God said that he created them, and he created the man. He created him with taqwa, regardfulness, respect for those things that should be respected. He created him with that, and he also created him with fujura. Fujura, huh? And that is the consciousness of right and wrong. So there is a consciousness of right and wrong, and right and wrong is taught us, or is learned by experience, right and wrong. And sometimes our lessons, or our experience with what is right and wrong, needs correcting. Many things that we think right may be wrong, and many things that we thought wrong may be right. And one of the things that the innocent in the religion have thought to be wrong, have thought to be right, is wrong. They have thought that this life is just really a temptation and a trial, and that it has no real value in the long run. It's the afterlife that's the valuable one, and we are to purge our soul of this life, keep its influences or its effect out of us. Don't love this material world. Don't give your heart to it. How can a man not give his heart to this material world when this material world has given him his manhood? Without the material world, no way he could have his manhood. This material world has given him his manhood, has given him his sense of his own worth as a created thing in the created world. So how can he dismiss it? How can he not love it? He loves the beauty of nature. He loves the wonders of nature. And he loves the benefits of nature. He has to love these. So to take him into a spiritual orientation and have him reject the world as darkness and evil and trouble, that if you give yourself to it, you lose your soul and the gift, the greatest gift, that's the hereafter. The Quran does not change the relationship of the values. Yes, this world in relationship to the afterlife that God promises us is of inferior value. But nevertheless, it is the means for earning the latter. This first is the means for earning the latter. And is this anything different from what the Bible says? The Bible says, if you're dead in this one, you'll be dead in the next. So that's why Adam was not denied his curiosities. Satan appealed to his curiosities. And God permitted him to pursue his curiosities at the expense of his taqwa, knowing that down the road somewhere, he would get his taqwa back.